Daddy, what are you doing?
We're recording a podcast.
Who's listening?
Islander fans are listening.
Where are they?
Well, they're right here.
Welcome to the Isles Faithful Podcast with your host, Michael Schurlein.
Hello, and welcome back to the Isles Faithful Podcast. This is episode number 25. Today is February 25th, 2019, and I am your host, Michael Schurlein, as always. February 25th, a crazy day around the NHL, also known as the NHL trade deadline. That deadline came and passed at 3 p.m. Eastern this afternoon. We speculated on Twitter and everywhere else that you enjoy Islanders-related content all over the internet about different scenarios and players that the Islanders could potentially go after. And at the end of the day, today, the Islanders decided that they wanted to stand pat. I would be remiss and I would be lying if I told you that I was 100% satisfied with that, because I'm not, and I'm sure a lot of you aren't either. We have had this fantastic season, as we've spoken about numerous times on the podcast. Jillian, I believe the Islanders are still first in the Metro, correct? But you're not here to answer that, so we're going to have to chide you on Twitter later on, but that's fine. You love that. In a year where they've been in first place in the Metro for a long stretch, and that's awesome, I would have expected them to make a move to shore up the offense and the power play. Really, the only things that are wrong with the Islanders right now. And, you know, we'll use the term wrong loosely, because obviously they've played very well up to this point. I don't want to really come off the wrong way and say I'm extremely disappointed, because I'm not. And I'll go into that why, which is the reason why you're going to be listening to this, right? The Islanders, you know, and it's hard to gather my thoughts, especially when I'm by myself here. I don't have anybody else to bounce ideas back and forth off of. And, you know, I went and kind of spoke about this a little bit on Twitter already this afternoon. The Islanders just didn't really do anything. We had speculated maybe they would be going after Matt Duchene, and they did not. Obviously, you had Columbus go out and just go balls to the wall and get Duchene, get Dzingel, go out and get Kincaid for a little goaltending depth. I believe they got their defenseman in McQuaid this afternoon. Just unbelievable the way that they just went all in. And, you know, they gave up a lot of draft picks. They only have two coming up in this year's draft now, you know, and they have a lot of decisions to make come July with free agents, because all those players that I mentioned are going to be unrestricted free agents, including Artemi Panarin and Bobrovsky. So there's some major decisions going on there. Yeah, all right, it's exciting, and they're going to go all in for it and try to win a Stanley Cup, and that's great for the fans out there. But back to the Islanders, would you be comfortable in that situation? You know, and I'm tying that all in together, because you could have potentially seen similar things happen here with the Islanders. If they would have went after Duchene, you would have seen two first-round draft picks, or potentially two first-round draft picks, go to Ottawa. You know, definitely this year's first, and they would have had to throw in a conditional first for next year on the off chance that Duchene re-signs. But then they also gave up Anthony Duclair, I believe. Or no, that was in the Dzingel trade. They gave up one of their prospects, or two of their prospects. So we would have had to have given up, you know, one of Wahlstrom or Bellows or both in addition to that. So, all right, we would have been hamstrung there a little bit in that trade. And then you have, like, Las Vegas for Stone today. Definitely a Dobson would have went. I believe a first-round draft pick as well. And a couple of lesser prospects. for Stone, but he winds up signing an 8-year extension at $9.5 million per. So again, the Islanders in that position, again, would have given up quite a lot of assets, quite a lot. That doesn't sound right. Quite a bit of assets to get a player like Stone. And I brought this up on Twitter this afternoon. I said, you know, would you accept a trade for Stone and give up like Anthony Beauvillier, Bellows, a first and maybe a conditional pick if it meant, you know, and re-signing him if it meant that you could not go after Artemi Panarin in July? And a lot of you said yes. I didn't put up a poll. I know a lot of you out there on Twitter like polls. I know Andrew Graziano loves polls. They've been doing polls over there at the Secondary Assist Podcast. But it was kind of like a last-minute thing while I was eating lunch. I was like, you know what? Let me see what is going to happen with this. And I was blown away by the responses. I actually couldn't keep up. So thank you for that. It made some fun conversation while we were waiting for nothing to happen today. But you got to think, again, what it would have done to the organization. You know, there are a lot of benefits if we would have got players like that, but it would have taken away a lot of our future. We've got a lot of draft picks here moving into this year and the years coming. So, I mean, the Islanders, in not giving any kind, getting any kind of depth in, you know, Marcus Johansson went to Boston. That was another player that was brought up. Then you had, who else did you have? You know, Tyler Toffoli stayed put. You had Wayne Simmonds go out to Colorado. Not Colorado. Colorado. No. See, I don't even know now. He went somewhere out there. Wayne Simmonds went to Vancouver, not Vancouver. Wayne Simmonds, I'm reading it and I can't read it right. Wayne Simmonds went to Nashville, as did a couple of other players. So, I mean, Columbus went all in. You had some other teams improve. St. Louis, Dallas tried with Matt Zuccarello. How unfortunate is that? I mean, that is the equivalent of going out and purchasing a car and then crashing it two-thirds of the way home before you even get it home. He had a goal and an assist. He had a bunch of shots. He looked really good in that game for them. Lays down to block a shot, breaks his arm. So again, something like that, if we would have made a trade for a little bit of depth, could have happened, you know, for the Islanders as well, and then we would be out prospects and picks or players for what, an injured player that we would get back right before the playoffs, not really down the stretch run. Now, down the stretch run for the Islanders, we've got Andrew Ladd, Thomas Hickey. Yesterday, he also signed Dennis Seidenberg to a prorated deal for $700,000 for the rest of this year. Now, Dennis Seidenberg, friend of a friend of the show, if you go back, we had Steve Wood on earlier in the season for episodes here on the Isles Faithful podcast. And Dennis and Steve go way back, as you heard in that episode. So he was practicing with the team for the whole entire, you know, since the summer, basically, without a contract. And he was rewarded for being a good soldier, adds a little bit of depth. Obviously, I don't think that he will see any playing time unless catastrophic defensive injuries happen. So, yeah, okay, that could have been another move as well. So we go back and we circle back again, and, you know, I'm all over the place, and I might even delete this. Who the hell knows? The Islanders kept all of their players. They kept all of their prospects. They kept all of their picks. Everything about this year was not supposed to be like this, right? We're not supposed to be in first place. John Tavares left. We had problems bringing in free agents. Lou Lamoriello comes in. He brings Leo Komarov, like we've spoken about. Tom Kunackel, as we've spoken about. Valtteri Filppula brings back Matt Martin. Brings in Robin Lehner, which who knew that was going to wind up being the story that it turned into, which is another great thing that this team is experiencing. On top of everything, you have this guy coming in, battling everything he's battled in his career, unbeknownst to everyone other than Buffalo. And he has four shutouts. Thomas Greiss as well, four shutouts, back to the way that he used to play, you know, previously in his career. So you've got all these feel-good stories, you know, and Lou Lamoriello chose not to add. He chose to stand pat. And that goes a long way for those 23 guys in the room, at least to me. You know, and I've spoken to some players like Mark Parrish, and they can attest to this, and I'll ask them about that next time he comes on. But when you show confidence, you know, and there could be people that can go on the other side of this as well and say, well, adding also could show confidence in the guys in the room as well. And I agree to an extent, but for all intents and purposes, and I overuse that phrase, I said it like just a minute ago, Lou Lamoriello showed the ultimate confidence in those 23 guys in the Islanders locker room by keeping them together. He said, you know what, guys? You're first in the Metro. You've played fantastic hockey and stuck to Barry Trotz's system, and we don't want to ruin the chemistry that you guys have developed. That's always a risk. You risk a lot of different things when you bring in a new player. You bring in a new player, say they would have brought in Stone and signed him to that 8-year deal. Well, guess what? That affects each and every decision moving forward. And you have to think about it like that. Okay, he is a great player, and I'm very disappointed that the Islanders didn't get him. I'm disappointed that Vegas is going to get to have him in their lineup and have a fantastic first or a second line on top of everything else that they got going on over there. I want that too. I want that for the Islanders. But their time is going to come. So you've got everything is like a ripple effect. It could have affected chemistry. You would have taken somebody out of the room. And I get it. You could go, again, either way. Well, it could have been a good addition. It, you know, could have been a good subtraction. But this is the team that they're going to battle with. And I don't understand where the line of thinking comes in where we're going to not really believe in them at this point. We're 60-some-odd games into the season, and we've believed in them up until this point. Why is that going to change? Yeah, okay, Ladd, Hickey, and Seidenberg are the only additions, really. But they have three more call-ups because they sent back Devin Toews on paper today just to make him eligible for the playoffs down in Bridgeport should the need arise. So, yeah, they have three more call-ups to play with. So that means Michael Dal-Cole, that means Josh Hosang, because he's still here, and that means maybe Otto Koivula or somebody like him who's having a fantastic year down in Bridgeport as well gets called up for the playoff stretch or in the playoffs. You never know. I mean, Trent Hunter was called up and played fantastic for the Islanders in the playoffs, right? Anders Lee, same deal. Granted, he was scratched against the Capitals there. But again, there are options. And this, like I just said, is the team that they want to go to battle with. And I think they've earned that right. They've owned up to all their mistakes that they've made. They've really bought into the system. They've played fantastic hockey for stretches, and it's not perfect. And I'm sure that Barry Trotz is drilling into their head right now all of the things that they need to do better. And if you look at some of the video from the practice this afternoon, you know, you'll see them working on systems and skating and just playing sound defensive hockey. All right. So, I mean, not all is lost. I'm sorry to have come into this episode on like this negative vibe, you know, but I'm venting. I think I've got the right to vent just like everybody else. But at the same time, I try to be level-headed. I try to be level-headed on Twitter. I try to be level-headed when I write. I try to see both sides of the argument. I really do. And I understand everybody's angst and, you know, frustration because I'm frustrated too. I'm 38 years old. I have only seen the Islanders advance to the second round two times in my adult life. One time was in the mid-90s. The second time was against Florida. So, I mean, come on. The time is now. Or at least the time is nigh. So moving on here. This July is the time to shine for Lou Lamoriello. It really is. And, you know, it remains up in the air. You never know what the guy is going to do. If you go and you look at the video today, he had a lot of good things to say. He at least instilled some confidence in me. I know some of you out there listening are probably shaking your head and say, no, Mike. No, this guy is just too old. He's washed up. You know, he should have retired. You know, and that's fair. That's fair. You guys can think that. But he has won multiple Stanley Cups. He helped turn Toronto around. He can do the same thing here. And I think we're witnessing the fruits of that. You know, granted, it happened a little quicker than anybody anticipated. And I'm sorry if I'm rambling. This is just one of those stream of consciousness type episodes today because I needed to get something out there. I needed to vent and get these feelings down while they're still raw and real. So Lou Lamoriello will go into July full bore. He's got picks. He's got prospects. And most importantly, he has a ton of cap space. A ton. They're going to go hard after Artemi Panarin. They're going to go hard maybe after some trades. You might see players moved that you didn't even really anticipate. That happens. Goaltending, who knows? Hopefully we sign Robin Leonard to a 3 or 4 year deal. You know? Jordan Eberle, question there. And then while we're on the subject of some unrestricted free agents, I saw on my timeline today a lot of concern. Mike, but what about these pending unrestricted free agents that haven't been signed yet? I'm worried about them. That's part of hockey. I understand that the feelings of John Tavares leaving in unrestricted free agency for nothing is still raw with a lot of people. And we're all going to be able to vent about that in a couple of days' time. But I don't think that that's going to happen ever again. And if it does, it's not going to be to the level that John Tavares did. We're not going to lose a superstar for nothing. So Anders Lee is going to sign a contract. It just might not be until after the playoffs or maybe sometime in the middle of the playoffs. Because I don't think they've wanted to take away from what's been happening on the ice. Same thing goes for Brock Nelson. I think that they offer him a slight increase in salary over a couple of seasons because I think they want to see, and maybe even another one-year deal, to see if he's really come now to the level of play that they've expected from him under Barry Trotz. He was leading the Islanders in points and goals and everything else just a couple of days ago. I haven't checked. I should probably check right now, but I'm going to lose my train of thought again. And you have Jordan Eberle, as I spoke about a couple of minutes ago. I think that maybe they should offer him a slight cost of living increase, a little bump in salary because he's up here in New York now. And the taxes, you know, because the free agents are all concerned about the taxes these days. Actually, so am I as a resident, but hey. Robin Leonard, as I spoke about, I think he'll get a deal. And then you have to worry about Matt Barzal. He's going to be getting a monster contract. If not, he'll get a bridge deal for a little bit more than he's making right now. So who knows who else could come in. But they have lots of decisions to make. They have lots of pieces to dangle. And they have lots of cap space. So please, can we all just step back from the ledge for a little bit and just say, all right, Lou's got faith in this roster. I've got faith in this roster, too. We're not supposed to be here right now. Let's see what happens. You know, and I spoke about on Twitter this afternoon as well. The only team that really frightens me right now is the Boston Bruins. And they got a little tougher. They did. They got Charlie Coyle from Minnesota. And then they also today picked up Marcus Johansson, who would have looked great alongside Barzal and on the power play. But I digress. We didn't get him. Oh, well, it's in the past. It's in the rearview mirror. I've spoken about that numerous times on the podcast. Someone once told me a long time ago, anything in the past is like something in the rearview mirror. You don't want to look behind you because you can't change it. There could be a crazy accident or something behind you, but it's behind you. Granted, now I understand if someone was hurt or something like that. It's probably a terrible example. But it's behind you. You know, you can't really do anything. No sense looking in the past. So you learn from the past, but don't dwell on the past, I guess is really the point of that. I could be mistaken. You'll probably all yell at me and say this whole entire episode is just crazy and go back to the way that you normally speak. But this is important for me to get this out like this. I think the biggest shock today, or even yesterday, came out. Arthur Staple had written in his article that Anthony Beauvillier was dangled for Matt Duchene. He was also dangled this afternoon for Stone. So could you see him maybe be shopped this summer? Maybe. The Islanders are kind of lacking here in that youth range, mid-20s, a little bit of pro experience. They do have a lot of youth coming up through Bridgeport and in junior. So you never know. A guy like Bellows could potentially be brought up to fill that role if needed. So we're going to see there. So now you're going to look at all these different trades today, and I'm pretty sure I have it up on my phone. NHL clubs made 20 trades involving 32 players today prior to the 3 p.m. trade deadline. So I don't know where that ranks in years past, but, you know, the Islanders weren't involved. It's time to move on. I think I should also read the couple of little thoughts I got down on Twitter, just in case you didn't see them. Hopefully you have and you follow me. If not, please do at Isles Blogger. You can follow the show as well at Faithful Isles. So I wrote, quick assessment here of what didn't happen. Isles retain all players and all picks going into what could be an exciting draft and free agency. I'm not saying I'm happy with not improving now. I feel a bit let down too. But this team has surprised all season. Why doubt now? And then I go on. Keep in mind, I'm sure Lou Lamoriello explored making trades. Good GMs do just that. At the end of the day, you have a lot of options to weigh. He just rewarded 23 guys with keeping them together, and that means more than we think. And then if you read Arthur Staples' article, I expanded a bit because pretty much something that I had said was written in there verbatim. Arthur wrote, but this was a very un-Lamoriello-like deadline. He's never worked with Barry Trotz before, so perhaps the coach, who has done so well with getting this roster to play his way, helped convince the GM not to break things up with 21 games to go. It was a quiet deadline for the Islanders, even if it wasn't planned that way. Asked if the team could take that as a compliment, Lamoriello agreed. I would like to think so, and I would hope so, he said, because that's exactly what it is. If not, something would have been done. And I think that really harkens to everything that I'm trying to say in this podcast episode tonight. Lou Lamoriello is happy with the progress of his club, but that it's a process. Everything about this season has been a process. It's an ongoing evaluation of talent. It's an ongoing evaluation of the organization in general from top to bottom. So they're still evaluating down in Bridgeport as well. I don't think really they've had enough time to assess who needs to stay, who needs to go, because I think if that was the case, you would have seen players shopped more or harder or brought in somebody for, you know, the younger guys they have down in Bridgeport. But as somebody informed me about on Twitter, I believe it was Doc Otze, he said that it seems extremely important to Lou Lamoriello and the Islanders that they go for a Calder Cup down in Bridgeport this year. And while I don't think that that is the ultimate goal, I think the ultimate goal is to make the playoffs in the NHL and allow everybody in the Islanders organization to experience what it takes to be a winner at the NHL level. I do believe that it is important for them to build a winning culture down in Bridgeport as well. And they haven't, you know, even been in the playoffs in a couple of seasons down there at the Bridge. So, yes, I think that they want to take that organization to the next level as well, because that's how you build a perennial winner. If you install a winning culture down in your minor league affiliate, those players know and have a taste of what it takes to win when they come up to the big leagues. So I think that that cannot be overlooked, and it shouldn't be overlooked, because they want those players to be able to come up and seamlessly fit into the Islanders organization at the NHL level. And if winning a Calder Cup, or at least competing for a Calder Cup, is the goal there for that, then I'm all for it. If it wasn't, they wouldn't have really filled out that roster with a bunch of career AHLers who have, you know, won at that level and knows what it takes to win at that level. So I guess we'll see where that goes as well as the season progresses. But I know they are doing really well down there in Bridgeport. Josh Hosang has been on an absolute tear. 9 points in 3 games. You got, you know, like I said, Koivula also doing really well down there. So we'll keep monitoring that as the season progresses and go from there. So if you're still with me, thank you for allowing me to vent. I'm sure that moving forward here, we will obviously get back to talking hockey and analyzing some of what could have been with some guests here moving forward. But as we stand right now, it's been a tough day. I'm not going to lie. It's been a tough week. The Islanders did manage to come away with 3 points from their little road trip. You know, they lost to Calgary. They lost in overtime to the Oilers. And then they won 4-0 in Vancouver. So they're going to come back home here now at the Coliseum. And we face off, or the Islanders, because I hate that. I hate when I do that. The Islanders face off against Calgary again, which was a rough game over there in Calgary last week at the Coliseum tomorrow night. So I'm looking forward to that game. We're going to, like I said, see Andrew Ladd and Thomas Hickey. Some lineup changes. Ladd's going to be up with Barzal and Komarov. Who knows how long that'll last during the game, but that should be an interesting look. And then later on in this week, we've got that big game. I don't think I really need to tell you about who's going to be returning. Yes, I do. It's that guy, John Tavares. I don't know. You may have heard of him. So I know there's going to be some fun stuff happening on Thursday at the Coliseum. Devin from Yes Men Outfitters is going to be putting on a huge tailgate. I believe that Mike Carver will be there from the Isle Seat podcast as well at the tailgate. They're going to be having prizes and food and a whole bunch of cool stuff. Those guys have been really tearing it up. They were just at the Offsides Tavern over the weekend. Mike did reach out to me, and we tried to get something going. Unfortunately, I could not make it to the city on Saturday. I really, really wanted to. It would have been really fun, and I wanted to sit there on that panel of people that he had going on the podcast. If it's not up, please head over there, or if it is, and give it a listen. I'm sure it's fantastic. I haven't had a chance to listen if it is up just yet. So keep an eye out for that. Check, obviously, both of their Twitters for information and the Isles meetup groups as well. Devin from Yes Men Outfitters also told me that he updated his website over the weekend. I checked it out real quick this morning. It loads fast. It's beautiful, as always. And he provided me with a new link. It's the same discount code for 10% off. It's Faithful10. But I'll post a link up on my Twitter. You don't even have to enter the code at checkout. It does it automatically for you. So I thought that was pretty neat. Please support him. He's a great guy and does great things for the Islanders fan base. So check him out at Yes Men Outfitter on Twitter. I think that's going to pretty much wrap it up for today. I will get back to you later on in the week. We might have a guest or two. I'm also planning on doing something with some live calls. I set up a brand new Skype account, which I mentioned the other day. So I'll post that up when the time comes. Hopefully you guys don't embarrass me too much. Hopefully we get a couple of good callers. We've had some good Twitter questions over the last couple of weeks, so I'm not really terribly worried. But, I mean, we have a lot to talk about now, right? So, one last thing. I'm actually doing a small little meetup out here in East Hampton on Thursday. We are meeting at the clubhouse in Waynescott. It's located right near East Hampton Police Department and the tennis club and the airport. So, there's a bunch of local fans that are meeting me for some wings, and we're going to watch the game. They're going to have it on a bunch of TVs there. If you're in the area, let me know on Twitter. This way we could let them know how many people are going to show up. I haven't even spoken to them yet. We're just like eight of us meeting, so it's It's kind of just the locals getting together, having a good time. But the more the merrier. Come on down. Say hello. It'll be fun. That's the Clubhouse in Waynescott, East Hampton. If you're not following the show on Twitter, please do. At Faithful Isles, you can follow me. At Isles Blogger. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We are on YouTube. Subscribe on YouTube. I may do some live video stuff here if I can ever get a haircut and kind of look good. I apologize for the week in between episodes. As you can tell, my voice is still a little raspy. I've been sick, battling a head and chest cold. I wanted to record over the weekend, and it just did not happen. My body was not cooperating at all. Although the best thing that I did this weekend that kind of made me feel better was playing hockey on Friday. Get all that bad stuff out of my body. So again, follow us on all the socials. You already know at this point, at Faithful Isles on Twitter. I keep repeating myself. I guess that's going to about wrap it up for this episode, number 25. It's been a rough day. I cannot wait to just go maybe have a cup of coffee and watch some TV. This has been the Isles Faithful Podcast, episode 25. I'm your host, as always, Michael Schuerlein, and let's go, Islanders!